Pues es, estoy bien, está ching.
¿Vale? Okay.
Good boy. Here we are. Oh boy. Good boy. I don't know. Hey, Glassy, over here. Come on, boy. Come on deck. Get up here. Good boy. I see here. Yep. Right here. Dad's about to go into a meeting. I'm not going to be able to talk soon. He's right there. Leave him. Huh? Yeah.
Good evening, Cam.
Hey, Jim. How's it going?
All right. How about you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. Been a while since we've had a meeting.
Yes. Is Ross coming, do you know?
I believe so. The only one that I heard from was Andy. Sounds like he's not coming. Yeah, I believe that's the only one that I've heard from.
And there was a new person that was going to come too. Forget her name now.
Oh, hi there, Michael and Diane. Are you two new commissioners?
Yes.
Yes. Oh. Alternates.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
I'm Cameron, the wetland agent for the town. And then up there in at least on my screen in the corner is Jim Lorsch. Is that how you pronounce it, Lorsch?
Yes. The old silent is Lorsch.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's Jim. He's our vice chair.
Okay. Nice to meet you, Jim.
Same here. Mike?
We met before, Jim, a long time ago.
What was that?
I used to work with you at DOT.
You're kidding me.
Nope.
That was a while back.
Yeah. I just joined the rank of retired now, so... I joined your club.
Good club.
Yes.
So with our new commissioners, I'll have to double check, but I think to have a quorum, we need 4 now.
Increased.
Yeah.
Is Ross coming again? I asked that earlier.
Yeah, I think he is. Mm. No?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard one way or the other if he's coming or not. So I have no idea.
Okay, I thought he was. We'll see.
Mm. I know we're going to be missing Andy. And then I'm not sure if Dave Lynn is coming or not. Yeah.
Well, right now we don't have a quorum.
Mm.
Correct?
Correct. I'm double checking that right now, though, just to be sure.
Good, please. Is there any way you can contact Ross to see if he's still coming?
Yeah, I can give him a call or shoot him a text. Yeah, probably the time I'll give him a call. I'm just going to check the town website as well. I'll put myself on mute while I call Ross.
Okay. We'll wait patiently, I think.
All right. Okay. Ross is going to join. He thought it was at 7:15 and not 7. So.
Oh.
Yeah, he'll be on in a minute.
Good, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, it's Ross. Sorry I'm late. Cam reminded me. I was getting this meeting mixed up with the Board of Finance, which is 7:15 instead of 7, so my apologies.
No problem. Good to have you.
So let me go, and I'm going to actually start out with approval of agenda. So let's get going. I'll call the meeting to order. It is 7:07. And let me appoint Michael, our new alternate, as a seated member. So he can, you know, vote and all that good stuff tonight.
All right.
And first thing I would like to do is entertain a motion to just change the agenda slightly, because we haven't met for a while and we have new members. And so I'd like to move item 5 on the agenda up, which is welcome new members, up to 1A, you know, 1A after we approve the agenda. So can I
move?
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
And who made this? That was Jim who made the motion.
Yes.
Is that Michael? Did you second?
Yes, I second.
Thank you, because our secretary, Ashley, not able to attend, and she wants me to make sure that I identify all the new members so that when she's doing the minutes from the recording, she can do so without getting the names mixed up. So any discussion about changing the agenda around?
Come on, Gus.
So I'm not hearing any discussion. So then I will ask for a vote, all those in favor, and I will do a roll call just so it's easier. Jim?
Hey.
Michael?
Yes.
Diane?
Yes.
And Ross, yes. So that's approved by all members present. So there are no votes or abstentions. I should mention just to get for the record that those presents are Ross Lally, chair. Jim is our vice president. We have Michael, who is a new alternate, and then we have Diane, who is a new regular member. So why don't I get started with just going around and do a brief introduction. So it's again by each of the members, just so everybody knows who's who, and then we'll get down to our business. So I'm Ross Lally. I'm the chair. I live at 41 Notch Road in Bolton. Jim?
Jim Lurch, vice chair. Live on Brookfield Road, 83 Brookfield Road. Been on the commission for quite a while. Happy to help out.
And Michael, new person.
Michael McDonald, yes, new alternate member. I live down at 18 Deer Run Road, just north of the Hebron line. And I look forward to working with everybody.
And Diane.
And I am Diane D'Annunzio, and I live at 2 Wall Street in Bolton. And just very happy to be a member of the Inland Wetlands Commission. So thank you.
And then we have a couple members who are not here tonight, because we have David, who is taking some time off. And then we also have Andy, who is celebrating a family member's birthday today. So they will be hopefully around at the next meeting, so everybody can meet them as well. So let's move on to item number 2, which is public comment. And I am not seeing anybody from the public here, either on screen or call in. So I will then go on to old business, of which we have none. That's item number 3. So let's move on to the new business, which is Inland Wetlands 23-2, James Grady, 35 Lakeside Circle, construct a new 28x10 rear deck and install stairs on side yard.
Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
I'm James Grady with Grady Construction at 5 Laurel Lane in Bolton.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And so if you would, Cam, would you like to step us through what the proposal is with Mr. Grady?
Sure. Just pulling that up.
Would you be able to share your screen, Cam? If you
sure. can,
just so that it's recorded for the record.
Yep. All right. So 35 Lakeview Circle, it's a proposed deck. They did receive a zoning ordinance or a variance, I'm sorry. The house is currently approximately 10 feet to the lake. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, going right up to the edge of the lake with this proposed deck. It looks like I was told it's, I forget the term, but minimal impact footings. And it's gonna be 28 feet by 10 feet. And I just had a couple of questions myself for Mr. Grady. If there was any footing going into the lake or if that's all gonna be on the yard itself. And then how close would that footing be to the retaining wall?
The retaining wall is about 24 feet from the house now on one corner, and I think about 20 on the other, or maybe it's 25 because the one side meets the setback requirement, but it's kind of, the setback is trapezoidal, not rectangular like the house. So the one corner is actually the corner in question. So it's not actually, it's about 10 feet back from the retaining wall.
Okay, got it.
The previous house that was there, they knocked it down. They reused a portion of the foundation. And that house had a deck in the same area that we're going to build it. It was actually about 2 feet further, closer to the lake. And it had a roof over that deck when we look back at older Google Images pictures from prior to 2015.
Right. And then I believe that also on the application, I think it wasn't listed on the application, but I was told you were also planning to install a small set of stairs on the side of the house. Is that right?
Yeah, the way the house was built, there's actually an entry door on the left side. Mm-hmm. And then there's a slider going out to the back. And neither of them have code compliant stairs now. And the clients are getting older. They want something with a graspable handrail. They want something safe for their family. And they wanted to match the house because they've spent quite a bit of money to move onto the lake.
Right. Okay. And how big would those stairs be?
The stairs, it's about, I think it's just over the requirement for railing. So the deck's about 38 inches high. So it's going to be 4 steps and then the deck itself.
Okay.
And it'll be about 42 inches wide so that once we put the graspable handrail on, they still have their 36.
Right. Okay. And then going back to the deck itself. So what exactly are these minimal impact footings that I was told about?
So we could either go two ways. They have it now where we were going to hand dig them and put up a silt fence so that the impact is minimal. We won't get any excavator, even though we own one, down there because it's too close to the water and we don't want to impact too much of the ground. So we'll dig exactly a 12 inch footing, send a 12 inch tube down there, get inspected and pour it. Or if you guys would rather, we could upgrade to the helical drilling piers where they come in and drill them right in the ground and there's no digging. I spoke with the client and they said if we can't do the basic footing, they'd be willing to upgrade to the helical techno piers.
Do any commissioners have any thoughts or questions on that?
I have a question.
Yes.
Too. Is one better than the other? I mean, what is the least impact to the lake area?
I guess it depends on how you look at it because it's kind of a tractor-driven machine, but it comes in and drills in like a drill bit. So there's no digging. It drills right in. And they bear the same amount of weight as the concrete footings. So there won't be any digging. There'll be no powdered concrete to be mixing or any of that. So I would say the techno pier is less invasive and less disturbing of the soil in the surrounding area.
And that's the techno?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's less invasive. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What are you going to have waste here? You're going to dig a hole. You're going to have excess material. Same with both approaches. What are you doing with the excess material? How are you going to handle that?
We'll haul it out in a dump trailer.
In a dump trailer. Would the trailer be coming onto the site next to the hole then? And you're taking the material out of the hole and put it in the trailer?
No, it would run a wheelbarrow to it in the driveway because it's too skinny on both sides of the house between the properties.
And how deep are these holes?
42 inches.
42 inches.
No, I presume they have to go below the frost line.
Yeah, 42 or greater.
How deep is the groundwater and will it impact your ability to do the concrete piers?
That we find once we start digging. Sometimes when we hit it too soon, if it starts caving itself in, we end up having to use the techno piers for that reason because they're not obstructed by groundwater.
So that would go on, Michael. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, you go. You were starting.
Oh, so basically, if you run into that problem, you plan on switching to the techno piers at that point.
Yeah, we're kind of forced to if we run into it.
Exactly.
Because even pumping the water out, the dirt will keep caving in.
Exactly. Yep.
We've had to do that on a couple down by the Connecticut River.
Okay. You have a contingency plan, so that's all we can ask for.
This house is a fairly new house. and it's been before the commission before. Is there an explanation to why this deck wasn't in the original application?
The homeowners did not build the house. They purchased it from the previous builder.
Okay.
So when they moved in, they didn't like the existing stair set. They didn't like the stairs coming out the side door because there's no handrails.
Thank you.
And Cam, could you show the plot plan? Because I see it's in the package.
Sure.
Because I think that might be a little bit more helpful because it shows where the deck goes next to the side of the house, tilt fence and stone wall and all that stuff.
How many piers are there going to be?
I believe there is five.
Five piers.
Five.
They're just around the front edge, to the front face of the deck? Or where are they?
Yeah, they're going to be down the front face, less than 8 feet on center.
So how I'm looking at this, it looks like the land is relatively flat there.
Yes, the land pretty flat. There's a slight pitch going down to the water, but then there's a retaining wall, and the water is probably a couple feet down from the top of the wall.
How
most likely you're going to hit water retaining?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
How long has that retaining wall been there, and is that structurally sound?
And that's Diane speaking.
Yeah.
That one, I don't know how old it is or how long it's been there, but it looks structurally sound. It's not leaning one way or another. It's plumb. It hasn't moved. It doesn't have a lot of cracks or anything.
So you would have no, this is again Ross speaking, you would have no reason to... where you have the silt fence marked and between there and that stone wall, you would have no reason to have any equipment in there or anything?
No, we wouldn't be in that area.
I just was curious. All the work you'll do will be between the house and where you have the silt fence demarcated, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, because then I was just, that was a good question, Diane, because I was thinking about just how sturdy that wall is and if you had any equipment there or is it at risk?
Right.
Yeah, the only equipment we'll have is post hole diggers if we do the concrete ones or the small tractor, which is like a remote control that drives in the techno piers.
Yeah.
And chop saw, table saw, and a circular saw. We're not going to plan on bringing any heavy equipment back there.
So other than the earth that you removed to excavate for the those posts that the porch is going to, deck's going to rest on, you're not going to do any grading or landscaping?
Nope, that's not included in what we're doing. It's pretty nicely graded now and well landscaped.
Okay. So then the only soil that you're taking off site would be whatever is we put those up, whichever.
From the footings.
Footings, yeah.
Are you going to place crushed stone below the deck?
That would be on the homeowner, but they weren't planning on it, I don't think. There's some stone there now. Not a lot of it, and some of it is grass.
Okay, I'm just thinking it might help prevent future...
erosion.
Erosion. Yeah.
If... we put it as a line item, or if we have to put it in there, I'll run it to the client and let them know that we have to put the crushed stone down.
Okay. Are there a lot of, hopefully, I'm hoping for your cases, no, there aren't a lot of cobbles out there. If there are cobbles, can your equipment manage that?
Yeah, they'll still be able to drill through with that techno pier.
They can push it on the side. Okay, good.
Yeah, it kind of wiggles its way through the way it drills.
Yeah, because I rented an auger when I tried to do my deck, and it did not work.
Oh, it was
a handheld auger. It almost spun me around.
You go for a ride with one of those.
Yeah, exactly. I quickly went back to hand digging.
So, I'm not seeing any. This doesn't look very, you know, like a complex job.
Yep.
And there is no work that is in the wetlands, correct?
Correct.
So I'll just ask the commission. There's two ways we could approach this. One is we can, if the commission has any information that you need or any more questions you want answered, we could act on this at next month's meeting. Or if you feel that you have sufficient information from this plan and it looks like it's a simple activity, we could delegate it to Cam, our agent for the commission, who could then, you know, we could then give the go-ahead as soon as, you know, Cam gets a letter out to the applicant. They could start, you know, work probably by the end of this week if we delegate the application to Cam. And again, the only reason we could do that is because it looks like it's a fairly simple project and because there's no actual work in the wetlands. So I just ask how the commission feels about those two options, either waiting till next month's meeting or delegating this to Cam as our agent.
I would be in favor of delegating it to Cam.
And for the new people, any questions about, you know, what I just asked, you know, Michael or Diane, you know, are you comfortable with my explanation or is there more you would like to know before making a decision? Because you guys are both new.
Okay, well, I would just ask, what is Cam's responsibility in doing that for the commission?
Sure. So in our town regulations, the commission can delegate actions to the agent that would otherwise be acted upon by the commission. So in this case, it would be something, where normally we would have today be the received date of the application, and then the commission is not able to act on it and actually vote on it and approve it or not approve it until the next meeting.
And that's by state statute.
Right. Yeah. And that's by state statute. And but our regulations allow for the commission to delegate that to me because of the lower chance of adverse impacts. You guys give me a list of conditions and I help compile that list and we put that together and send out the permit to the applicant. And then as soon as they receive the permit in the mail, they can begin work.
Yeah. And part of the reason, Diane, for the delay is this, in the statutory delay, is to give the public time to comment and to review if there is something that is complex. And if the commission requires more information from the applicant, and with simpler ones like this, where there's no actual work in the wetlands, there's typically not any, there's nothing really controversial about this thing. It's really just simply a deck with very low impact, at all. And so that's why, we have that opportunity to, and also in the case of an emergency, say it's a septic failure, something like that, where there's a health issue involved, that's another reason we might want to delegate something to the agent. Okay.
Well, I'm in favor of delegating it to Cameron.
Michael, your thoughts?
I'm fine delegating it to Cam also.
Then, anything else you guys want to ask of Mr. Grady before we go ahead?
Not for me.
Nothing for me either.
Jim? You're also
as long as the ex-contractor follows the plan and is responsible and cleans up and hauls the material off and keeps all his activities away from the lake and it's neat and tidy, I don't have a problem.
So then I will entertain a motion to approve Inland Wetlands application 23-2 with the following conditions: that the work be performed in accordance with the plan of record that was submitted with the application and, you know, the other documentation that was submitted. And also that the silt and sedimentation fences be installed and maintained in accordance with, and I cannot remember the name of that little, that handbook for soil and erosion. So we'll have to, Cam, if you could add that.
Yeah. Yeah, the 2002 guidelines for the 2002 Connecticut guidelines for erosion and sedimentation control, I believe is what it is. It's
yes,
something like that.
It is. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And I had a copy of it that I lost, and you can't get it anymore.
Yeah, I think it's all available online for free, but the paper ones, yeah, you'd have to print it out yourself, I think.
Yeah, a nice pocket size one. Oh well. So any other conditions that folks can think of? Because if not, then I'll ask somebody to approve that, you know, make that motion and then a second.
Does the plan, I can't read the plan, it's pretty fine print. Does the plan talk about hauling all the excavated material out and, you know, how you treat the disposal of the material? You just want to make sure you again keep the site, keep the material from going into the lake. You want to make a mess, if you will, and then pick it up after yourself and truck it off, carry it off. And just as long as that's on a plan someplace, I'll make a motion to delegate this permit to Cameron, the agent.
With the conditions that he follow the plan of record and that the soil and sedimentation erosion controls of 2022 be followed for maintaining the silt fence or whatever sedimentation barriers.
And that all excess material is hauled off site.
And that the excess material is hauled off site. Thank you.
So, and I have one more question about that. How long does this supposed to take to complete? Is there a time frame?
We should have it done in roughly about 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
2 weeks from today?
2 weeks from the start date. I believe we still need to go to one more meeting for planning and zoning. We already got the variance, but now we have one more meeting after we get your approval.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So then will somebody make the motion, then I'll entertain a second.
I'll make the motion.
So Jim made the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
And Diane seconded it. Any further discussion? And then I'll do another roll call vote. Jim?
Yay.
Michael?
Yay.
Diane?
Yes.
And Ross, aye. So again, that passes unanimously. And Jim made the motion. Michael seconded it. Passed unanimously by all those present. And so then I guess, Cam, if you would do the permit up, the permit, and then I can review it, and then we can get it out to Mr. Grady hopefully by the end of this week.
Sure, absolutely.
And then as soon as you get that, Mr. Grady, you should be able to start work. And if you have any questions, you know, Cam is available.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can start work once you get the other approvals from P&Z and whatever you need, but you'll have ours hopefully by the end of this week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Much luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. So then, thank you all for the new people for helping out with that one.
Welcome.
Yes. Nice job.
And so we're going to move on now to what is number 6 on here is election of officers. And this is something we have to do after I guess within by the end of July or 30 days after everybody is appointed and seated on the commission. So we need to get it done at this meeting because next month will be past the deadline for getting the officers elected. And so I was going to say, I would be fine with, I'm going to just have just a little discussion with folks beforehand. I'm fine with going ahead with this, you know, with being chair. Jim, would you still be interested in vice chair or no?
Yes, no, that's fine. I'd be vice chair.
And then for the new members, I will just pass on that I'm going to be 70 this fall, and I've been doing this for about 10 or 12 years. I don't feel like stopping right now, but it would be good for other folks if you're interested at some point in being chair or being vice chair to think about it and, you know, let us know. And I don't want to put the new people on the spot because you just joined and you don't really know what it's all about yet. But by the same token, you both look younger than Jim and me, so I would just say we want to keep this thing going. If you want to keep this commission going, think about it, you know, as an opportunity to try it out. And I'm not planning on quitting anytime soon, but by the same token, I don't think I want to keep doing this when I'm 80. And it's also just good to, you know, it's good to get new blood in and some new, you know, new viewpoints. And it also doesn't mean that you're stuck with being the chair. It can also be, you know, revolved around, you know, among different people. So I don't feel like I own this. It's something that I would be happy to share with folks at some point when you guys get a better feel for things.
Amen.
No, it's something I would be interested in the future, obviously not tonight.
Yeah, but again, I'm serious about this. Like I said, I really don't feel like I own this, and it's a wonderful opportunity I've had. So if you wanted to think about it, you know, as the next year comes along, just, you know, talk to me about it. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I don't take it as a vote of lack of confidence. It's really just something I think other people need to have an opportunity to do at some point.
Yeah, it's something I would definitely be interested in, but I need to get my feet wet a little more before I'm ready to make that move.
Yeah, that's why I said I didn't want to put you guys on the spot tonight. Diane, you know, what do you think? Something interesting or no? If you're not, that's fine too, because not everybody is.
Well, I would have to think about that quite a bit. Okay. Being the first time here, but I'm enjoying everything that we've done so far. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. So again, it's just like, I like to do this as an ensemble performance, and that I'm here to help facilitate discussion, and that I don't decide what the commission does. And so it's by the same token, if any of you are interested in trying out for some of the leadership roles and so forth, by all means, just talk to Jim and me.
Thank you.
And so that we have a slate that is proposed of new officers, which is, again, Ross Lally as chair and Jim Lurch as vice chair. So I'll entertain a motion to approve that slate.
So moved.
I will do that. I'll put a motion.
Jim made the motions. You want to second it, Diane? I think he beat you. Okay, so Diane, you're seconding the motion. Any further discussion? Then all those in favor will do a roll call. Jim?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Diane?
Yes.
Ross? Yes. So the motion passes unanimously. And then I'm going to share my screen. So let me have Cam stop sharing. And I'm going to share my screen because this next dates 2020. And let me find that Word doc that I just finished before the meeting, which is also why I was a little bit late. So let me share that. Can folks see the document?
Yes.
Let me zoom in a little bit. So here is the proposed meeting schedule for next year. And all of the meetings are on Tuesdays. They're at 7 p.m. And typically you wind up with conflicts around in Thanksgiving or Christmas. And I didn't look at, let me look at May, because I didn't look at Memorial Day for next year. So let me go and look. So Memorial Day next year is the 27th. So I don't know if we want to meet on the 28th. We might want to do the 21st instead.
Sounds good to me.
So let me go and change that one to the 21st. Are there any other ones in there that, you know, jump out at folks?
How does November 26th hit with Thanksgiving? Is it before or after Thanksgiving?
Oh, that's a good question.
I haven't got a calendar right in front of me.
Let me look at my calendar for, hold on. I think I got the right year.
Thanksgiving's on the 28th.
So it's just before Thanksgiving. You may want to move that one a little further one way or the other.
So do you want to do it the week before then?
That would be good with me, I think. Yeah, at least I have a pumpkin. Yes.
So that would be November 19th.
Yes. Any others that jump out at folks? Other than the fact that in September, I may be in Italy, but we'll find out.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Yeah, my girlfriend and I both have September birthday, so we're going to give ourselves a treat. So
nice.
I have a September birthday also, yeah. But not going to Italy.
Oh, you've got the name for it.
Right.
So anyway, anything else that jumps out? Because I will submit this schedule then to the town clerk if everybody is comfortable with this.
Yeah, it looks good.
So then I will entertain a motion to approve the meeting dates for 2024 as discussed and as shown on the screen.
I'll put a motion in to accept the meeting dates.
I seconded.
And Jim, that was Diane made the motion. Jim, was that Jim you seconded it?
Yes.
Okay, any further discussion? Then I will do a voice vote again. Jim.
Yes.
Michael.
Yes.
Diane.
Yes.
Ross, yes. So the motion passes unanimously by all present. So then, stopping sharing, we will move on to the approval of the minutes for our April 25th regular meeting. So let me go and flip through to those.
I have read them and I don't see a problem with them. I move that we approve the minutes as presented.
And I wasn't there.
Nor was I.
Nor was I. So I read.
So we're going to go with what Jim says.
Yeah, I'm looking at it too, and I don't have any problem with them. Normally, this would be the one where I would abstain if I weren't here. But then again, if I abstain and the two other people abstain, then I don't know if it passes on a one vote.
Well, can you table it to the next month's meeting? Is that a problem?
We could table it, or I don't know how critical it is that what we're, you know.
Is there a rule that if you weren't there, you can't kind of?
There's nothing. No, we have no formal rule about, okay, you know, about this. It's just normally something that if I'm not there, I don't vote on it. So we could always table this and move it till next month and hope that David and Andy are there.
Okay.
So would you guys like to table it then?
Yes.
So then why don't I have a motion to table the approval of the April 25th minutes to next meeting.
I'll motion that.
And that was Michael making the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, and Diane seconded that. Any further discussion? Then again, I'll do a voice vote. Jim?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Diane?
Yes.
Ross? Yes, so we've approved that with all members present, and we will do those minutes at our next meeting, and hopefully we'll get a couple more people who are there. Wetlands agents report.
Yep. So let's see. I didn't really get a chance to look at the past meetings and see exactly what's already been discussed since we canceled the last two meetings. But trying to remember what's already been talked about. But let's see. I've got 16 Tanglewood Lane. That was the permit for septic tank replacement, permit number 2023-1. So it was a failed septic system, and they had to essentially get an emergency permit for replacement. It was within 100 feet of a stream. And so, yeah, they did need to get the permit. But I went out there 2 weeks ago now, and all the grass has established. The erosion controls were still up, but I told the homeowner that because the turf is pretty much completely reestablished, that he's absolutely able to go ahead and take that stuff down at this point. Um, 83 Vernon Road, same thing. That was the rock wall rebuild on Lower Bolton Lake, permit number 2022-7. The wall was rebuilt, the grass is established, and the erosion controls have been removed. Let's see. 271 Hop River Road, that's the old gas station that's going to be a new gas station.
Yes. I was actually going to ask you about that. So I'm looking at the minutes here and I see April that they had torn the buildings down. And I noticed that myself when I've been going by, but it doesn't look like they still haven't really done too much.
I'm still not fully versed in it myself on what's going on with P&Z, but they have been going to planning and have been reworking the plans. It's been kind of a fluid situation as much as I understand it, but there will actually be a pre-construction meeting tomorrow morning for the new phase of the project. So I believe that they're about to put in the footings for the gas station canopy to go over the pumping units. I think that's the very next stage. I'm not 100% sure, but I will find out at the pre-construction meeting.
And also, if you said they've been having lots of meetings with planning and zoning, hopefully they haven't done anything that substantively changes the plan that we approved, because they originally had one plan to reuse the old buildings. They came back after they said they really couldn't, and we approved their new plan where they tore down the old buildings and was actually better than the original plan with reusing buildings. So if you could just make sure they don't have any substantive changes to it, it would be a good thing, because it's been a while.
Yeah, all the plans that I believe I have the most up-to-date plans, and the ones that I've seen in the couple of iterations since the last meeting when it was approved, they have not been at least in our terms for wetlands substantial.
And what about the debris that needs to be cleaned up, because I see you have a note on this in the April 25, and I know it was something of interest to the commission at the time they came, during the whole course of the applications they've submitted, because there's a lot of junk back there in the woods with old trucks and tanks, right, and other stuff, cars and so forth.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get back there recently, but I think the last time I was back back there versus just parking on the road and just looking at the site through the construction fencing. Last time I was back there, I believe that they had stopped removing debris as they were changing plans. So I don't know if they fully removed debris. I know they had been, and a lot of stuff had been taken out, but last I know they had finished removing debris. So
if you could then check on that for for our next meeting and see, because I really would be interested, one, to just make sure there's no significant changes to the plan, and two, that they did clean that. It's basically a lot of crap is the best way to describe it that was left there by the previous owners.
Right.
Where is this located?
Pretty much right across from Munson's Chocolates.
The old M&M oil, Minicucci's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a little ways down from there, but more or less across the street from Munson's, yeah.
Okay. And they're putting in a gas station?
Yes.
Okay.
Whole new gas station.
Mm-hmm. Whole new gas station with food, with the typical with fast food and so forth, like they do in a lot of them.
Yep.
They thought they might take advantage of the rail trail traffic that goes along behind back there, too. There's going to be some access from their property, I think, to the rail trail back there.
Yeah, they are planning to do a wetland crossing back there. That plan is also still a little fluid. We have been trying to work with them, myself and Patrice Carson from planning. So we've been working with DEEP to connect to the trail, since it's a state trail. I'm not trying to remember exactly where we left off on that, but I believe it's up to the applicant to get a little bit more information on it, I think. But more or less, Beep said that it shouldn't be an issue. We just have to submit the form.
That's also one of those things we knew they were going to do. It was on the plan. So if they choose not to, it doesn't really matter. They're not forced to do the activities, any of the activities that we approve. They're just required to do them in accordance with the permit if they actually do any of them.
Correct.
I'm just curious as to why they would choose a gas station when the All Fresh right here in Bolton was, put up fairly new, and you have the Shell station right up the street also, unless that's not going to be anything.
Burger King locates across from McDonald's and Home Depot across from Lowe's and CVS across from Walgreens.
Yep.
Yeah, except that it's a way smaller town, so I don't know.
Route 6 is very busy, so there's a lot of traffic there. So, it's an interesting question for us, but it's really not our jurisdiction. So.
No, I know. I was just curious
I have a question for Cameron.
Sure.
I got some pretty heavy rains the last 2 days. Do you know of any damage, any flooding, or any erosion that we should be aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. Nothing overly substantial. More just things that aren't necessarily in our purview from a wetlands regulatory standpoint. Definitely flooding in various locations, as I'm sure everyone's seen around town. And but I don't think anything that that concerns us necessarily.
Go on, Jim.
I just wanted to see if there was something that happened. I didn't. It rained pretty heavy here. I think we got 3 inches in about half an hour or so.
Yeah, the other one I was curious about is we recently had that accident down on Route 6, and I saw that they looked like they'd had some sort of a fuel spill or something, because there was all the kitty litter they used to sop it up and you know, stuff, and the road was closed for a while. Were there any wetlands impacts from that that you're aware of?
No, not that I was aware of. I had heard about that. And I know that they did have Connecticut Deep come out and dig up all the soil that was contaminated and remove that offsite. But that's about all the information I got on that. And I don't believe there were any wetland or water course impacts.
Yeah, because I just saw the road was closing when I rode through on my bike. It was pretty obvious they'd had a big spill there, because I saw the cleanup, you know, the leftovers from the cleanup on the road, and then some things like where it looked like soil had been removed and so forth. So that's what I was curious about.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Go on, Jim, you had another one?
No, I just was thanking Cameron for the update.
Yeah, I had a couple other questions, so I'm going to keep going with them since I haven't been here for a while. So, Cameron, 180 Bolton Center Road, I see they basically completely, they look like they have the silt fence up in the back the way they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know we had some trouble with that earlier, so I've been keeping an eye on it when I ride my bicycle by. And then I notice it's all completely cleared now. It doesn't look like the soil is stabilized or anything. It's all, you know, no stumps left. It's just all soil open, and there's a for sale sign.
Right. So I'm not sure with the for sale sign, to be quite honest, but I actually personally haven't noticed that, but I could have just been completely skipping over it in my head as I drove by. But so in discussions with the property owner developer, he is a contractor and is often busy and is just kind of building this home in his free time, is more or less how I understand it. And I did meet with him on site about the silt fence, and he agreed to fix it. And I think within the week had fixed it, no problem. As for the exposed soil, I would have to double check the plan, but I know that the 2002 guidelines recommend at least putting some sort of cover, either, you know, temporary seeding or haying it or something, if it's going to be left for, I believe the time frame is over a month without any work. But that is a recommendation. And if it wasn't in the plans.
It's been a week or so, week or two. There's no sign. The last time I went by, there was no sign of any like hay on it, hydro seeding or whatever. And it's got a for sale sign on it. So that makes me wonder, did he just not be able to afford it? Or was he doing this on speculation? A footprint was just there to get the approval and say that somebody else could then build on that in the future. And which, you know, again, it's not necessarily our business, but if it's going to sit, you know, sit there for a while, then I think something needs to be done to stabilize the soil. You know, regardless of, you know, if he wants to, you know, decides not to build, fine. Whoever comes in, they have an approved footprint. If they want to go outside of that, they're going to have to come back to us. But if it's for sale and they're not going to do anything for a while, you know, to your point, Ken, they need to stabilize it.
Right. So, yeah, I can definitely discuss with the property owner again and just let him know that that is a feeling of the commission, and see what his plan is for going forward, if he has at least an estimate of a time frame when he's going to get back out there and continue work, or if, you know, he has a plan for when he has these stretches in the future, let alone this one time, you know. So
yeah. Well, and again, if he's, like I said, if his next stretch is going to be a fair distance out there, then he needs to stabilize it.
Right.
And then one last question. The quarry at the end of Notch Road, I see they've sort of started to do some work in there, move some stuff around, did a little bit of digging. Do you have any more updates on, you know, on that?
In the end of Notch Road, I don't.
It's at the north end right down by Route 6. So if you're going down north to the end of Notch Road where you get on that little fork down there of 6 and 44, it's on your left. So
right,
it's something.
Is Landy doing a work in there? Is Landy Construction doing a work?
I'll be quite honest. I'm not entirely sure what is going on back there. I haven't really heard anything about it myself. I'm not familiar myself with it.
Oh, if you could bone up on it, because it's got a fence around there and I can't see very clearly on there because of the trees and stuff near the fence, but some work has been done. And if they are doing work, then they need to make sure that they're putting, you know, erosion and sedimentation controls and whatever that's appropriate for whatever they've done.
Right.
Diane, you had a question about that as well.
Well, that's right near me. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, down the street from me. So I see it often. And I had thought I heard someone say that it was somebody was going to be putting their tractors and their work machines in there.
Stockpiling gravel and other stuff, so there'll be truck traffic in and out of there.
Yeah, so I don't know what really is going on. It just seems like they're kind of moving a lot of things, like flattening it out and taking all the quarry rocks out. So I have no idea what's going on.
Their general plan was to level it and to make some. There's a small low-value wetlands in there that was created by previous excavation that they're going to fill in because it's really just a damp area from, you know, basically a hole that was left there that became a wetlands. And so they've got some filling in there and grading and so forth that they want to do to make room for some buildings to store equipment in and also to stockpile gravel and other materials. So since it looked like they did start work, it would be good to go and check on it. So Cam, again, if you could follow up.
Yeah. So I apologize for my lack of knowledge on this one, but so is that one that has been previously permitted by this commission?
Yep.
I think we did. We gave them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we gave them a go-ahead to do it with the caveat that the state was apparently going to redo that intersection. And I was asking a little further, I happened to be talking to Sandy Pierog about it. And she said her understanding was the state was not going to proceed with it because he had bought that property and didn't want to give it to the state to do the road improvements, and the state had no money. And so for whatever reasons, apparently it was the state canceled its plans to improve that intersection, which is a death trap, but whatever.
Right. Yeah. The town just sent out recommendations not to use that road when working. So.
So can't the state take over that area? What did they call that?
Eminent domain.
Condemned.
Domain, yeah.
Oh, they could do that if they really had the interest and the will to do so. They could, and the money, they could make something happen there, because they've submitted various plans. The last one was, I thought, was really clever and was a good solution to that, where you would basically cut that big rock face back so you would have a separate turnoff lane to go up Notch. And you could actually see further, you know, you'd have a straight sight line so you could see cars coming.
Yeah. So
it was clever because they were actually going to have the road, the end of Notch, move to the west and go over the tunnel. They used the tunnel, the old tunnel there, for the trail to be the end of Notch Road. So you would go over the tunnel and they'd get rid of the bridge that it currently goes over. So it was actually a pretty neat solution. And so whatever reasons it looks like this, according to Sandy Pierrot, and so I don't know, you know, I can't vouch for her sources, but I'm just telling you where I heard it, that it's apparently it's not going to happen.
That's too bad, because that is a really dangerous area. I come in and out of there all the time.
Yep. And just
look. Is there a chance with the new infrastructure money coming down the pipe that they could revise that?
I don't know. I think it would be something we just need to, if interested parties need to find the right people to talk to in the state government and make some more noise about it, because it's a horrible intersection.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not the only horrible intersection in the state.
I'm saying there's a whole bunch
We're competing with horrible intersections all over the state.
Yes, and I've seen other ones getting fixed, so I was hoping that this would
be I would hope that this one can get fixed too. I always drive around. I'll turn right onto Route 6, but I'll never turn right onto Route 44 from that.
No.
I do it all the time, but only when at certain times of the day. Other days, it's just
5 o'clock in the afternoon. Not that time.
Yeah, not that time. Oh.
All right. Any other things for Cam? Then I'll move on to the other, which I'll just ask if members have any questions or comments or concerns or thoughts about their first meeting.
It's very interesting. I'm enjoying it so much already.
Okay. Did you guys find the training links on the DEEP website? So I think I sent them to you, Michael. I don't remember if I sent them to you, Diane.
I don't remember seeing them, but I'll have to look at your emails again, double check if I missed it.
I did not get that link, but I did go over the 16 pages that we had for tonight's meeting.
Yeah.
I go over everything there.
Yeah, a lot of this you pick up as you go along, and you'll get up to speed. I'll send you the link, Diane and Michael. It should be in there. If you can't find it, just text me at my phone number I left you. It's my cell phone, so you can just text me or give me a ring.
Very good.
With you, Diane, we can just get you hooked up, because there's a whole bunch of free training on there, you know, at the DEEP site. And the other thing that will be coming up in the fall in November is the Connecticut Association of Conservation and Inland Wetlands Commission's annual meeting and conference in November. And that is really good. It's about $70 or $80 you pay for it. The town, you submit your receipt to the town and they'll reimburse you, because we have money in our training budget. It's something that I typically go to every year. And they have environmental and legal topics both. And I usually go to the legal ones because I find the environmental stuff interesting enough to just keep up with on my own during the rest of the time. But they have a good discussions between two lawyers who go, environmental case law. One works for the state, one's in a private practice, and it's really very interesting because they will go over the case law and they will explain the importance of making sure that your decisions you make are according to the inland wetlands regulations that your town has, and that those regulations reflect the state statutes. And then you're pretty safe when you go to court, but you have to be We have to do all of our decisions with the understanding that they could be challenged and go to court. And the judge usually looks at the written record and doesn't bother with too much else, and can make a decision based on that. So we need to be careful with our decisions. That's why I usually do the legal ones. But they have those. UConn has a bunch of classes they do. Cam and I went to one on forestry last fall. That was quite interesting up at UConn. They actually doing a logging operation on UConn, up at UConn, and we could see how it was used. So then we went to the trench dug down in the field so you could see the different soil layers and see, where the wetlands start. It was quite interesting. So there's lots of opportunities like that during the year. And if you happen to see any on your own, again, just let us know.
And when is, where is that convention held in November?
I don't recall where they're, I don't know where it's going to be this year. I haven't seen the literature. We should be getting something probably September, October, that will tell us. Or okay. You can just go out to, it's called CACIWCS, Connecticut Association of Conservation and Inland Wetlands Commissions, and just go out to CACIWCS.org and look it up.
Okay.
They've usually been like in Wallingford, that area, Meriden, Wallingford.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, there's an opportunity to carpool for some of these things too.
Okay.
So anything else anybody wants to talk about under other?
I would like to welcome Michael and Diane to the commission. It's good to have you. Hope you have
Thank you.
Looking for some help. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you guys for joining.
Yes, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
And if there's nothing else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn.
That's from Michael, and then Diane seconded it. So we are adjourned. See you guys next month. And if you have any questions, the new folks, just give me a ring. And if you see anything around town that looks like you were wondering, like, why is somebody doing that in the swamp? give Cam a call.
Yep, absolutely.
And he will go out and take a look at it. And then we will talk about it at the next meeting. Or he and I will have a chat before the next meeting. And you can talk to both of us, depending on what we find.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.